Okay, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We're going to talk again this morning about discerning from Scripture God's purpose in plagues and natural disasters. And we're going to talk this morning about the many spiritual lessons to learn from God's special providence in this plague of the coronavirus that has so deeply affected now the world and all the churches. It is especially unique in God's providence that this week, the week in which Christ's death and resurrection are celebrated in history, is actually the peak and the high point of this pandemic in suffering, in deaths, as well as social isolation. The fact that the churches have been largely closed down for good measure to protect the health of folks. Everything has been largely closed down as a result, even the gathering of the churches for the sake of stopping the spread of the virus. But thankfully, the Word of God is not bound, and Christians can gather together in their families to worship, to praise God, and to seek His face and blessing for the churches in the nation. But because of this unique situation, it is especially important for people to know God's sovereign design and purpose here. And it is, of course, by His sovereign judgment that these things have been thrust upon the world as well as upon the churches. And so it's essential that we understand why and are not ignorant. There are many lessons to be learned from Scripture about plagues and natural disasters, and especially about the events of the coronavirus here. People have the faith and humility to be instructed from Scripture and to take these things to heart. And so here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Solomon, in the midst of his sermon on the vanity of this present evil world, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher. And speaking of God's judgment upon it, he says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, therefore, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. For surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him." Now notice closely here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon says that in the midst of adversity, in the midst of calamity, and God's judgments, we're to consider the work of God. Now, Solomon is saying that here in the midst of calamity or some work of God's judgment, His providence, we're to consider His work. We're to discern His work. We're to discern His sovereignty and judgment in it. And we're not only to turn in faith and repentance to Christ for mercy, but we're also to break off from sin and idolatry and the vanity of the present evil world and learn to keep His commandments in the fear of God. That is the message of the whole book of Ecclesiastes. It's a very solid one. Everybody should read the book of Ecclesiastes during this time. There is misery and death and vanity under the sun. And yet there is joy and happiness and the hope of glory in Christ and in the fear of God. So Solomon says in the day of adversity, consider the work of God. Consider the work of God lest you be deceived. Because that brings us to consider the work and purpose of God in this present plague and crisis of the coronavirus. Now, if you look carefully at Scripture and how God wants us to think about this plague of the coronavirus, the fact that the churches are closed down and it has greatly affected the world and every aspect of society, business, social relations, families, and hospitals, especially in the healthcare institutions. There are, in fact, two layers of instruction that are to be drawn from this work of God's providence. Two. First of all, there are the obvious moral lessons to be drawn that every Christian and every other person should know. For example, first of all, we should value the importance of good health and hygiene, as well as social distancing at this time, to slow the spread of the virus. These are good lessons to put into practice in the future as well. We also learn here the blessing of a quality healthcare system, good physicians and nurses, as well as the research and technology that helps to combat the evil effects of the virus. There's been a lot of new lessons learned if you are studying and watching the response to the virus. We also see the virtue of good government demonstrated by President Trump's administration. And I think he's done a fantastic job watching all the press conferences and the difficult decisions that have to be made politically for the economy, as well as to stop the spread of the virus. I think he's done a great job. Good government. I can only imagine what some liberal Democrat would have done to ruin the nation. But we also see here the corruption of the communist Chinese government and all their lies that allowed this plague to spread. The communist Chinese government is wicked and ungodly. There has no doubt been over 150,000 people in China that have died. And they have even put elderly people still alive in their 70s in body bags and cremated them. That's how diabolical and wicked communist pagan governments are. And liberals commend China. Now, China should surely be punished, and they should pay reparations for their deceit and what I would consider criminally negligent homicide. We also see by this the incompetence of the World Health Organization, the WHO, and their ungodly liberal views that aided the spread of this virus. They should be immediately defended. And President Trump should establish a separate American health organization on Christian principles. I've often promoted this to the Trump administration. The present health organization in the world and also in America is diabolically wicked and ungodly, promoting abortion, promoting liberal views, anti-Christian views. These are obvious moral lessons to learn from the spread of the virus. We also learn more of the deceit and hypocrisy of the fake news liberal media, that they are wicked and ungodly and they cannot be trusted. They lie and they deceived for political reasons because they don't want President Trump in office. They don't want any Christian values president in office. They're of the devil. It's a spiritual war, actually, that the nation is in. And they are, by far, a greater plague on the nation than the coronavirus, the liberal fake news media. We also see at this time, though, the importance of prayer, good works, and acts of Christian love in the midst of such a world crisis. And these are all important lessons. It's important in the midst of a crisis that there be a unified design to work together to stop the virus, as well as to show love, mercy, and good works, and the funding of all the necessary institutions to help and benefit those that are suffering because of it. So these are all lessons, moral lessons to be drawn from God's providence during this crisis. But there are also many deeper spiritual lessons to be drawn that are far more difficult for people to learn, even for believers. To understand from Scripture what God is speaking in these judgments. First of all, plagues and natural disasters are signs of God's judgment on the world on account of the great evil of sin and idolatry. Now, we've seen that from the past, and how God, in His judgment, brings these about. Jesus even says they are signs, plagues, pestilences, are manifestations of God's judgment before the time of the day of judgment. And so this plague is a foreshadowing of the far greater plague of God's wrath that is coming on the world of the ungodly at the day of judgment when Jesus comes in flaming fire. But we should discern also in this crisis the call of God to all the nations to repent of idolatry, to repent of false religion, to break off from their evil, to believe the gospel, and to follow Christ in true faith. We should also discern from Scripture by this crisis that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, being the Redeemer of God's elect and the great physician whose saving work is the only remedy for the infectious disease of sin. All mankind is lost and depraved without God and headed for judgment without Christ because of the infectious disease of sin and false religion. It is only Christ who is able to redeem sinners. But we should also discern here from the virus the importance of godly separation from evil, false religion, idolatry, and the corrupting influences of the world. These are the reasons for such plagues. Social distancing stops the spread of this plague. Godly separation from idolatry and from evil stops the spread of the infectious disease of idolatry. And that is a very important truth that the church needs to learn in these days. We also see the need for repentance and revival, for reformation in the church, the need to seek God's grace and mercy for spiritual cleansing. That's a deeper spiritual truth that many Christians are not willing to see today, that spiritual cleansing is a necessary application of God's providence here. Now, we should also see at this time the importance of family worship, family reformation, and the spiritual implications of the biblical doctrine of the covenant. Now, our lives hasn't changed much. But there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians, that don't know how to live in a family. Husbands and wives that don't know each other. Parents that don't know their children. And they have no clue as to the significance, the blessing, the family worship, family prayer, and a life of godly Christian devotion. And how important that is for Christians to learn today. Especially because for the purpose of stopping the spread of the plague, churches are closed. We have the great blessing of having worship, having time of worship for the glory of God. And so this is a very important truth that Christian families should learn today. We also see that there is a light at the end of this crisis in God's grace, which should point us to the hope of glory in Christ and the resurrection. It is a notable work of God's providence, as I said, that this is the very week in the remembrance of Christ's death and resurrection. The world is at the same time experiencing the high point and peak of the death rate from the coronavirus, at least here in America. Now, that should drive everyone to Christ in faith and repentance and to trust in his saving work. To know that in Christ's suffering and death on the cross, there is redemption and there is the hope of glory. The promise of every spiritual blessing. Now, all these are important spiritual lessons that we're to discern from Scripture with an eye of faith in Jesus Christ. And without this kind of knowledge and discernment, the world as well as the church is led by spiritual darkness and ignorance. Now, sadly, most people today are so infected by sin, by idolatry, false religion, and political correctness that they shut their ears to the truth of God's word and to these most important spiritual lessons to be learned from this pandemic. They won't listen to Scripture nor to God speaking judgment in the plague. And so the Bible's many warnings with regard to plagues, pestilences, diseases, and natural disasters of all sorts as manifestations of God's judgment on sin and idolatry, they'll fall on deaf ears to the church. Which is tragic, as well as to all of the ungodly. John Calvin rightly said, the ungodly like to bury themselves in the sand and deny the reality of judgment. So they dismiss and misrepresent the signs anticipating the day of judgment. Think of that. That is sad and it is true. It is true today in the world and the fake news liberal media, but it is sadly true also in the churches. They just don't understand why God sends plagues and disasters on the world. And it is likely, as I said before, that after this plague has run its course, most people will go back to their normal way of life, their normal pattern of unbelief and idolatry and false religion, and sadly heading for a greater plague of God's wrath and judgment at the end of the age. God forbid that the churches and Christians would not be changed by this. and see, as it were, the handwriting on the wall. But tragically, I fear the church will not be much different either. Most Christians will remain accommodated to the false gospel of cheap grace and the political correctness of the modern world, not seeing that there's a far greater and more sinister plague of idolatry and false religion that has spread throughout the churches over the last generation, that is really a worse blight and disease than the coronavirus. The idolatry and false religion that is presently spreading throughout evangelical Reformed churches is a far greater threat and a far worse blight than the coronavirus. The coronavirus can lead to sickness and, yes, even to death. But the blight of sin and idolatry leads to damnation. A greater suffering by far than any physical disease. And the spread of the coronavirus as an infectious disease that spreads sickness, misery, respiratory difficulty, and in some cases, respiratory failure leading to death, should therefore lead us to consider the spiritual implications of such evil upon the world. Because that's what Scripture tells us. That's what the prophets warn about. That's what Jesus and the apostles warn. Throughout Scripture, sin, idolatry, and false religion are together often spoken of as a spiritual disease, a plague, a cancer that leads to misery, corruption, God's wrath and displeasure, and ultimately death and damnation. And so when God sends such a vast plague upon the world that brings such enormous change to society, politics, economics, the closing of churches, and therefore instances of such panic and confusion to so many people, he is speaking to us all in his providence, in his judgment. And people who refuse to go to church, people who refuse to hear the faithful preaching of the Word of God, are forced to listen to God's providential judgment now. They may be deaf and dumb, but they have to listen. Their lives have been changed. Right? And he is calling everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sin and idolatry, to turn in faith to Christ, to turn from their sinful ways. And he's calling the church to repent of its idolatry, to repent of soft-pedaling the gospel, the cheap grace, the false worship, the entertainment that is often promoted that leaves people in bondage to false religion and a lifestyle of ungodliness. It is so tragic that many Christians can go to church not just for a year, but for a decade or two, and are not the whit better for it. They're not the whit better. What does that tell you about the nature of preaching and teaching and the form of worship? It's unholy. It's ungodly. It's accommodating to a culture of political correctness. Truly, the plague of sin and idolatry and the false doctrine to this corrupting evangelical Reformed churches today is a plague. It's a spiritual plague. It's a far worse blight spiritually than the coronavirus is on the world. It's an infectious disease that leads many to a life of misery and bondage to sin and false religion. The spiritual downgrade and the apostasy that is widespread in the church today is therefore like a spiritual cancer, a coronavirus that attacks the spiritual immune system and causes deep, harmful, and chronic spiritual problems. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 6, the prophet, speaking of the sin and idolatry of Israel, God's people, says this: "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment." Isaiah the prophet describing what? The spiritual disease of idolatry and false religion by the terms of sickness, physical ailment, plague, pestilence. Also in Micah chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, the Lord says, because the land is full of wickedness and violence, and her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth, therefore I also will make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. The Lord says through Micah the prophet, because you are liars and deceivers and speak in hypocrisy, I'll give you over to sickness and to the sword as retribution. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Lord therefore says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord who redeems his people from sin and bondage is also the one who heals us, sanctifies us, cleanses us from sin, and gives us a heart to keep his commandments. You see, plagues and pandemics are therefore often the direct result of sin, idolatry, and false religion corrupting a nation and a people. You can clearly see this in the AIDS virus, right? In that epidemic, which is in large measure God's judgment on homosexual perversion. Now, it's not so difficult, though, to see it in the coronavirus, because the coronavirus attacks and hurts Christians and non-Christians alike. Health and prosperity, though, are therefore often blessings from God, though, and to nations who are obedient to his word and commandments. The Bible, therefore, repeatedly speaks of the importance of sound doctrine and obedience to God's commandments as the way to spiritual health and happiness. Now, the very phrase that is used in Scripture to speak of sound doctrine, in fact, carries the idea of that which is healthy. That which is wholesome doctrine. Sound doctrine that is faithful to Scripture and the truth of the gospel, therefore cultivates good spiritual health and also leads to revival and reformation. While false doctrine is a spiritual disease that leads to moral depravity, corruption, and difficulty among Christians. And so you can see by all this that there are serious, chronic spiritual problems in the church and Christians' lives. Respiratory problems that can be drawn from the coronavirus. From all of the passages of Scripture, the prophets and the apostles are warning of the greater danger of a plague and a pestilence that attacks the spiritual immune system, but that is like and can be drawn from the physical evils and effects of a plague and pestilence. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, Paul therefore speaks of the importance of preaching and teaching sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, wholesome doctrine that builds good spiritual health and that leads to healthy Christian lives that glorify Christ and not to sickness and disease. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul moreover warns of the danger of the corrupting influence of false doctrine, saying that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves false teachers and believe lies. This is the real spiritual implication of the spread of the coronavirus. The real danger today is not the coronavirus necessarily, but the infectious disease of false religion, false doctrine, the corrupting influences of lies spoken in hypocrisy. The church today is full of false doctrine that breeds spiritual disease. Roman Catholicism, Neo-Orthodoxy, Pentecostalism, Antinomianism, Feminism, even the dispensationalism and fake Calvinism in churches today breeds spiritual disease in the church. I know that's hard to hear. Many pastors would refuse to listen. But the fact is, It is this type of false doctrine that has corrupted the churches, and that why there are so many pastors and Christian leaders with broken families. The pattern of ungodliness and idolatry, the adultery, the divorce, it's very tragic. In fact, the most important lesson for the church and for Christians to learn today from the spread of the coronavirus is the great evil of false doctrine as a spiritual disease, and not trusting in the authority and all-sufficiency of Christ and His Word, but accommodating to the trends of the world. Accommodating to the sports, the entertainment, the lifestyle, the pattern of this present evil world. Paul says, come out from among them and be separate. Jesus Christ is the great physician, the only mediator between God and man, and He alone is able to redeem, to cure, to sanctify, and to cleanse us from sin and spiritual disease, as well as from spiritual ignorance and a backsliding and ungodly pattern that has overtaken the churches over the last generation. And so He calls His church and people to repentance. But I'm going to say there is sadly such a spiritual blindness in pastors and Christian leaders today. They are corrupted by false doctrine and political correctness. They don't have the wisdom and knowledge to prescribe the right and proper remedy. You know, there are very bad doctors and physicians today that are liberal, that are ungodly, pro-abortionists, and do not have the wisdom to prescribe the right path to physical health, truly. But there are also many pastors today who are like quack physicians or even witch doctors who purposely suppress the truth in unrighteousness for the sake of filthy lucre. They don't want to tell the truth. And sadly, many of these false teachers lead people straight to hell by their false doctrine. They lead the church to greater spiritual disease and dysfunction, respiratory problems, chronic spiritual diseases that are in the church because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's very tragic. In Matthew 15:14, speaking of false teachers, Jesus said, the blind will lead the blind, and they will both fall into the ditch. In Jeremiah 8:10-12, the prophet says, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they even know how to blush. And therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. God will not be mocked. In Luke 8, the Bible speaks of a woman with an infectious disease, with an issue of blood. It says she spent all her money on doctors, but they couldn't heal her. She was in a state of sin and misery until the Lord, of course, redeemed her by His grace and healed her of her disease by the power of His Word, a wonderful and beautiful story of Christ's miraculous grace. But you know, the story is very much like the church today. There are sadly many people today who are religious who can go years and years to church listening to bad spiritual physicians who spend all their money, their tithes and offerings, on false teachers and are not the whit better. They're not the whit better. They're still diseased. They still have an issue of blood. Sin, idolatry, and false religion, and in misery and bondage because of such an infectious disease. And it's for this reason that it's essential for ministers at this time to speak the truth of God in love and to warn people of the serious danger and hazard of idolatry and false religion that is as an infectious disease that is corrupting the church. This is what is most important about discerning from Scripture God's providence in this plague and crisis of the coronavirus. This is what the Word of God especially teaches us to learn in times of plague and disaster. This is what the prophets speak of. This is what Jesus speaks of. This is what the apostles. In Matthew 24:8, Jesus therefore said that plagues and pestilences, as well as other natural disasters, would be signs of His speaking judgments on the world in anticipation of his second coming on the day of judgment. He said there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, and all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus is saying, yes, I am bringing these upon the world because of sin and idolatry. So, disciples, listen up. Heed the word of God, search Scripture, and discern. Discern God's purpose in such plagues and disasters, lest you be deceived. Lest you be deceived by the secularism, the false religion, the political correctness of the times. In Psalm 65, verse 5, speaking of God's judgments in the world by plague and other disasters, David says, by terrible things in righteousness you will answer us. Yes, God often speaks to the world in judgment by sending plagues and disasters, and because people will not listen to the faithful preaching of the Word of God, they shut their ears to the truth. How many Christians even today are shutting their ears to the truth? They stop their ears to the rebukes against sin and idolatry, against fake Calvinism and Renaissance paganism that is corrupting the church. Well, then God sends plagues and natural disasters to quicken their hearts to listen. This is so important to remember because most people don't understand this. They don't have a biblical view of God or of the world. They're not discerning Scripture as it relates to plagues and judgments. They're led often to interpret events in the world by liberal and atheist views driven by false teachers, fake news media, or political correctness. It is shocking, actually, today, the type of preaching that is going around in churches. And they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and they keep people in spiritual darkness. Thomas Vincent, once again, during the Great London Plague, said, God often speaks to us in extraordinary ways by terrible things of his judgment, by fire, by plague and pestilence, by other calamities. And this he does to humble us before his majesty, that we might break off from all sin and idolatry, to lead us to Christ and draw our closer to him in all faith and obedience through his word. So there are great spiritual truths to be learned from God's works of providence, especially his acts of judgment in such plagues. And we do well to take heed and to learn from them. To learn from trials. It's so important to learn from trials, right? We're often all the more better and sanctified and grow closer to God through storms and trials of life. But we're to interpret them from Scripture. Well, William Cooper writes in his hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Blind unbelief cannot understand the plague of the coronavirus. The Scripture gives us wisdom and discernment. God makes plain in his word what is otherwise impossible to understand or discern. So the more we grow in the knowledge of God and his word, the better equipped we are to discern God's providence and his purpose in such times of plagues and calamity. To know his will, to understand his judgments, as well as how we're to respond in faith and obedience to Christ and his word, and to better live for God's glory. Because it is certain that plagues such as the coronavirus will increase over the next years and generations. Plagues will get worse. Other disasters, of course, will come upon the world. And you know, I've been preaching these kinds of sermons every 5 to 6 years. How important it is, therefore, for Christians to understand and to respond. So over the last several weeks, we've seen from Scripture in general terms the different kinds of natural disasters and plagues, the source of plagues and disasters, the politics, the record in the history of plagues and disasters, the misery that comes upon the world because of them, as well as the general purpose and reason why God sends plagues and disasters. In general, of course, God sends plagues and other natural disasters upon the world in order to manifest his sovereignty and judgment, to punish the wicked, to strike people with fear, to warn them of the day of judgment, and also to call them to faith and repentance in Christ. Now, it's important to remember that the leading cause of death in the world the leading cause of death in the world, is God's providence manifested in plagues and natural disasters? It is not cancer, it's not heart disease, diabetes, car accidents, drug overdose, or even war. Those are all forms of causes of death. The leading cause of death in the world is God's providence and judgment manifested in plagues and natural disasters. The wages of sin is death. And how does God bring that about? Plagues, pestilences, storms, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, fires, droughts, and famines. And we are all the wiser to know this. It is estimated that nearly 60 million people die every year around the world. Did you know that? 60 million. Over 1 million people, of course, die from AIDS every year alone. But over 20 million from various plagues, diseases, and pestilences. Not counting the coronavirus. How many has coronavirus killed? If you include China and North Korea, which they all lie about their numbers, probably 300,000 to 400,000 so far. But the fact is, nearly 20 to 25 million people die every year from plague, pestilence, and the famine that is caused from plague. Now, you would think that people would want to know why this is the case. Why do 50 to 60 million people die every year around the world? You would think that pastors and Christian leaders would be especially interested in knowing these facts, scientific facts. Right? Learning something about this in relationship to Scripture. The wages of sin is death. And how does God bring about death in the world? By His judgment? Plagues and natural disasters. How important that is for Christians. How important that is for pastors and theologians to know, to speak the truth in love in opposition to secularism, fake news, liberal media, and false teachers. You see, God is sovereign, and He sends plagues and disasters according to His will and purpose. He sends catastrophe and calamity upon people, not only to judge them, but to try them, to test them, and purge them from sin and idolatry. Matthew Henry said, plagues and pestilences that bring misery and death are evidences of God's judgment on sin and idolatry, from which we are to break off from and seek His mercy in Christ, and further resolve to follow Him in all faith and obedience. Now, the ungodly do not want to look upon calamities, plagues, and such disasters as the work of God's providence. They always try to deny God and attribute everything to chance, to natural processes. They hide behind the false science of evolutionary paganism, the idolatry of Mother Nature worship. They fabricate false religions, twisted scientific paradigms, atheistic political ideologies, in order to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All throughout the liberal media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, even Fox News, they're all in complete and total denial of the plain scriptural truth. Plagues and pestilences and all other disasters are works of God in His judgment. They're works of God in His judgment. There's so many liberal and atheistic ways of denying God, resisting His word, downplaying His judgments in the earth. Why would the church and why would pastors repeat the same drivel and speak lies and hypocrisy to their people as the fake news liberal media? In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Even His eternal power and Godhead. But they suppress the truth. They deny God's works. They deny God's sovereignty. They deny God's power. They deny God. It is a denial of God. It is practical atheism everywhere in the world to deny that God is at work in this plague. It's atheism. Tragically, this same practical atheism is as a virus that goes through the churches. All of a sudden, pastors, Christian leaders, don't know what to say. That's why it's so important for us at this time to discern God's providence and His judgment and His purpose in this plague as a natural disaster. You see, this has everything to do with knowing Christ. This has everything to do with defending the gospel, defending the authority and sufficiency of God's word, defending His sovereignty and His judgments, and explaining to people how to respond in faith and obedience. Because evolutionary paganism, philosophical naturalism, the global warming heresy, as well as the denial of God's sovereignty in plagues and disasters, inevitably leads to all different kinds of sin, immorality, moral depravity, as well as corruption, oppression, and great diabolical evil. You see how different it is how President Trump and Vice President Pence and the United States government is responding to the crisis in opposition to China as well as European nations. We look to Christ and His word. We look to the hope of the resurrection. What are they doing? They're under the power of death and hell. So this is a lesson for the church and for the unbelieving world as well. It is a form of atheism and willful rebellion against God to deny God's work, power, sovereignty, and judgment displayed in plagues and natural disasters. Noah Webster therefore said, "Heathenism leads to corruption, and government that is devoid of truth and piety will inevitably lead to great foolishness and calamity." So it is important that we understand these things. How can pastors or Christians confess to believe in the sovereignty of God and the authority of His word and remain silent, therefore, on such an issue, on the leading cause of death in the world? One of the most central aspects of God's judgment spoken of in Scripture and poured out upon the world, and what the world is going through today is a crisis. I find it shocking. A sure evidence that practical atheism is overtaking the nation. It's very sad. George Whitefield said, "Without the faithful preaching of God's word in judgment, people are often given over to sin and idolatry without judgment." Without judgment. You cannot have faithful preaching and teaching without the faithful preaching of God's judgment in such times of crisis, calamity, plagues, and disasters. If the church and pastors deny at this time God's sovereignty and His power in judgment, well, then they're likely to lie against the truth in so many other things. And that's the fact. That's the fact. It's very sad. Instead of looking to God and His word, pastors and Christian leaders often turn atheist or agnostic in time of calamity. They don't want to tell the truth. They don't want to suffer persecution for it. In Proverbs 29:25, Solomon says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be exalted." That's the real problem today of why there are so many that are silent. It's the fear of man, fear of persecution. It's also political correctness and a form of idolatry. John Calvin said, "Faithfulness to God's word in pronouncing His righteous judgments upon the world always meets with resistance and opposition." This is true. It's one of the main reasons why the truth is often suppressed in unrighteousness, even in the church. You can expect this to happen in the fake news liberal media because they're atheist when it comes to God's judgment. But the church has sadly become infected with this poison, with this infectious disease and idolatry of political correctness. In every part of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we read of God's judgments manifested in plagues and pestilences, storms, floods, earthquakes, fires, droughts, famines. It's all throughout Scripture. And the book of Revelation, of course, concludes with the plagues of God's wrath poured out on the world of the ungodly. How could pastors therefore be silent? Why? Idolatry and false religion is a plague, a far worse infectious disease and plague upon the church than the coronavirus is presently upon the world. Jesus therefore rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for being able to discern the change of the weather, but not the signs of the times. He says you can discern the weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Why? Because they were given over to false religion and idolatry. It's the same today. Now, in Job chapter 5, verse 9, Job says, "Who can understand God's ways? He does great and unsearchable things and wonders without number." So there are always many different reasons for one event and many different lessons to learn from it, as we've already seen. The plague may mean death and misery for one person, but life for another. Right? Think of how many unborn children are likely to be saved over the next several weeks or months because of the influx of hospitals and the fear of young women having to abort their children. How many unborn children are going to be saved by this? That's a unique and yet wonderful providence. Right? There are different reasons or purposes for one event. Let me give you a better example. If you look to Christ and do a saving work on the cross, there are, of course, many lessons to learn from just that one event. The centerpiece of Scripture and of our faith. The cross is where God manifested the glory of all of His divine attributes. And the cross of Christ teaches us about Scripture, about God's justice, about God's saving love, about the sinfulness of sin, about the need for redemption, about truth and holiness, about the Christian life, about the church and discipleship, about the evil of idolatry and false religion. The cross of Jesus Christ teaches us everything. Christ crucified was the pouring out of God's wrath, the satisfying of His justice, the manifestation of His power, the proof of His holiness, the vindication of His truth, the display of His love and mercy to sinners, the most striking evidence of His glory. Right? But think of what Christ endured on the cross. Very similar to the effects of the coronavirus. Right? Searing headache. Aches and pains in the body. Great pain in the lungs. Respiratory failure. They're striking. Striking similarities. Now, applied to the various trials, though, that overtake us in life, the plagues and natural disasters that God brings upon the world, there are many things that God teaches us by way of His providence. Discerning the purpose of God in plagues and natural disasters. And so there are several reasons why He sends them, all of which are harmoniously related and come forth from the mystery of His providence and the sovereignty of His will. Truly, some of the worst things that God brings upon the world in suffering and misery also bring out the best things in His people, in His grace and mercy. Samuel Rutherford said, "The thorn is one of the most evil and detestable things in the garden. The very symbol of death, and yet out of it springs the rose. Christ was crucified and suffered the painful and shameful death of the cross. He suffered under the wrath and vengeance of God. And yet out of the tomb, He was raised to life and victory to bring life and salvation to the world. And so, certainly in every storm, we're to look for a silver lining. In every disaster or calamity, we're to look in hope to God's mercy. And in every plague and disease, we're to look to Christ for grace as the great physician and the healing power of his word. Because we know that there will eventually become a vaccine and a remedy for the plague. But we know more importantly that there is a greater vaccine, a greater remedy for the plague and the infectious disease of sin. Christ's redeeming love. In Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, David therefore says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, I think every believer should read this psalm and meditate on it during this time of the coronavirus. So we're going to ask this important question this morning. Why does God bring such disaster and calamity to the world, such as the plague of the coronavirus? We're going to look at the several reasons. They're not accidents of nature or chance. They're given for good reason. There are more than 10, but for brevity and clarity, I've just listed 10 of the most important. Solomon says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. For surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him." Amen.